Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask for a clear understanding of our subject today, that you would reveal it to your children, that all would understand the real truth about the false prophet. Thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name, for opening our understanding, giving us wisdom. Amen. Okay, you probably guessed it. We're going to talk about false prophet revealed. Okay, who is the false prophet, and how may we identify him? It'll be so useful in the days to come to know these things. Experience and the Word have taught me concerning prophecy that if the majority of God's people believe something, it must be wrong. It's been that way in the Scriptures, you know, and it's that way obviously now. God hides his truths in dreams or in visions that are parables, so that the false prophets and the carnal Christians cannot see them. Let's read Matthew 13:10-13. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So God does not give people understanding. He hides things in parables in the Scriptures, and we should look and expect things to be hidden. But he took his disciples aside, and he explained these things privately to them. Disciples are learners and followers, so he knew he could trust them. In Mark 4:33-34, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. And without a parable spake he not unto them, but privately to his own disciples he expounded all things. So he hides these things from the wise and understanding. The educated leadership, you know, but he reveals it to true disciples. And he reveals things to babes. He calls us to be his babes, right? Trusting in him. Luke 10:21 says, In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding, and didst reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. Well, notice that disciples, meaning learners and followers, get to partake of the hidden manna. Revelation 2:17, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knoweth but he that receiveth it. And, of course, Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. Amen. John's revelation was given to him as a parable from Jesus. If it were literal, the false prophets would know what's going to happen. And that is contrary to Jesus' own words, as we just saw. When the disciples were young and under the law, they did not recognize the false prophets. As a matter of fact, they respected them. And so it is today. And I want to show you who have eyes and ears, who the false prophet is, and what his work is. The false prophet is a corporate body of religious leaders that to the trained eye resemble those of Jesus' day. In all of Jesus' and Peter's and John's writings outside of the book of Revelation, the warning is to false prophets, plural, that would come. In Revelation, false prophet, singular, is used, but it's in an allegory. And since Jesus said in the end time that Matthew 24 and 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony unto all the nations, we read that many false prophets shall arise. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall lead many astray. And verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. We've seen false revival movements and people rise up to speak perverse things from the spirits of Kundalini and so on and so forth. We've seen that. Okay, these are false Christs, which are false anointings, right? And these are false prophets. Then the false prophet in Revelation is a symbol of a corporate body like the rest of the characters in Revelation are. You see what I'm saying? The false prophet singular is used in Revelation because it's an allegory. But all those characters, the beast, the woman, the harlot, the bride, they're all corporate bodies. Is the false prophet a corporate body? Yeah, of course. Of course. It's the only way that Jesus and John can both be right. And we know that Jesus spoke through John, right? So you might say, David, aren't you sharing the secrets with the false prophets? You don't have to worry about that. They're too proud to admit that they have passed on lies, and they hold fast firmly to their education, right? They're not going to go outside of that. They're proud of that. They got that certificate. So they're full of the traditions of men, and they're not ready to repent. Moses prophesied the coming of the true prophet and the false prophet. Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 22. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well said that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, and there's many of those out there, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. The prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now I want to warn you about something. Is when the devil comes to a person to deceive them, he basically says, well, you see, this hasn't come to pass. But the devil is not the one to tell you when the time is up. He's the one that draws those lines, okay? God brings things to pass in his time, and they will come. But because they don't come right away, don't think that these are false prophets. The true prophet, of course, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit that is in his true corporate body. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45 says, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Notice who Jesus, the last Adam, is being called here now, a life-giving spirit. He is the head of his body, the church, which is female, by the way, Ephesians 5 and 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. So Jesus' headship is manifest physically through the fivefold ministry, according to the Word of God, Ephesians 4 and 11. And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. There's your leadership. That's the head. The senses of the head correspond to the ministers. For example, the prophets are the eyes, according to Isaiah 29 and 10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets, and your heads, the seers, hath he covered. Evangelists, on the other hand, are the mouth, the ministry of those outside the body. They preach to those outside the body. Teachers are the ears, 1 Kings 3 and 9, give thy servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people? Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. Understanding here is the Hebrew word for hearing. Solomon heard answers from the Lord. He didn't have an extremely big skull with all the answers in it. No, he heard answers as they were needed from the Lord. It was words of knowledge and wisdom that were spoken to him by the Lord. 1 Kings 10 and 3, and Solomon told her all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. So he got the revelation when he gave it to her, you see? So it takes the fivefold ministry to raise up others into the head. Ephesians 4 and 15 says, but speaking truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. So we can see a false headship in these days because of the Nicolaitan error, which Jesus said he hates, according to Revelation 2 and 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And verse 15, so hast thou also some that hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans in like manner. So that false headship is that the pastor usurps the authority of the rest of the fivefold ministry to be the head of the church, because the Bible doesn't give him that authority. You see that? The Spirit of Christ is manifest through the fivefold ministry to lead his body, the church. God's going to restore the fivefold ministry in these days. In Jesus' day, Jesus was the man-child. But Jesus raised up apostles who went forth and ordained the fivefold ministry to lead the church. You see, in our day, the man-child is going to do the same thing, raise up the fivefold ministry. So also, the spirit of Antichrist is identified in 1 John 4 and 3, and every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it cometh. Ye have heard that it cometh. And now it is in the world already. So this spirit is manifested through men as a false prophet to lead his body, the harlot. That's right. The false prophet also has a female body, the corporate harlot, who receives not the seed of the true husband. That's what a harlot is, right? These do not confess Jesus, the Word, which was given in the beginning. Confess here is a word meaning to speak the same as. We have authority to speak in agreement with the Word. We don't have authority to speak otherwise. And the person who does that is the false prophet. The false prophet body cannot say what Jesus said. You'll notice. Christ sows his seed, which is the true word. And as we read in his parable, Matthew 13:18-23, hear then ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word and straightway with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So the true prophet, Jesus, always sows the true word. The false prophet cannot confess him, cannot speak the same as him. In Revelation 13:11, and I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like unto a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Well, that's got to be a fake lamb, right? Here we see a false lamb who speaks for the dragon, who is who in Revelation chapter 12? The devil. So we see the head of the false prophet with two horns like unto a lamb. In other words, he's supposed to be a lamb or a speaker for the Lord, right? And he spake as the dragon. And also, verse 5, and there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Blasphemies here means to speak against. So you don't have to be critical of someone to speak against them. You just say, don't say what they say. You speak contrary to what they say, right? The false prophet does that. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months. In verse 15, we see the body, the harlot, of the false prophet. Revelation 13 and 15 in the NENT, and it was given to her to give a spirit to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So Bible numerics shows a perfect pattern for her in the ancient manuscripts and in the most accurate New Testament, the Numeric English New Testament by Ivan Panin. There's no pattern for he or it. That's man's reasoning. They thought, surely this is a mistake. It was not a mistake. Numeric shows beyond a shadow of a doubt which manuscript is right and where it is right. As the harlot of Judaism caused Jesus to be crucified, so will the harlot of Christianity cause his body to be crucified. So let me show you this another way. In 1 Kings 18, Ahab represents the beast with the 10 horns because he ruled over the apostate 10 tribes. And he worshiped the image of the beast, the golden calf. Ahab's wife, Jezebel, killed the saints and the prophets. And you can compare this for a relationship in Revelation 17, 1 through 3, saying, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and they that dwell in the earth were made drunken with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. There it is again, having 7 heads and 10 horns. There she is, ruling by the 10-horned beast again. Jezebel is a clear type of the harlot in Revelation 2 and 20. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Well, so she, like the harlot, was guilty of the blood of the prophets and of the saints. 1 Kings 18 and 4, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. That's 2 Kings 9 and 7 and Revelation 18 and 24. So in Revelation 17 and 16, when the beast is through using the harlot, he devours her, Revelation 17 and 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. Well, and so it is with Jezebel in 1 Kings 21 and 23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs, there's the beast eating, right? The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the rampart of Jezreel. And it came to pass. So there's a comparison between Jezebel and the harlot that's really clear. The true ministers of God are fed at the church's table. 1 Corinthians 9, 13 and 14. And the false prophets, corporately the false prophet, are fed from Jezebel's table, 1 Kings 18 and 19. Now that, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the Asherah, 400, that eat at Jezebel's table. So the false prophets of Baal and the false prophets of the Asherah represent the two horns of the false prophet in Revelation 13 and 11. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like unto a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So find out who the two horns of Baal and Asherah represent in modern times, and you will know who the corporate false prophet is. These two go back to the Tower of Babel and were originally Nimrod in Genesis 10, 8 through 10, and his wife Semiramis, a false virgin Asherah. When Nimrod died, Semiramis became pregnant, claiming that Nimrod had become the sun god Baal, who then, by virgin birth through her, right, was reborn as her son, Tammuz, who was the false son of God. Way back, before our story about the virgin birth and the son of God, this was happening. So a lot of times, first comes the false, and then the true. Then, of course, the Babylonian worshiped the false father, son, and virgin about 2,300 years before the true virgin birth. Semiramis probably knew of the prophecy in Genesis 3 and 15 concerning the virgin birth. This false scenario is still worshipped in Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches. And at the dispersion of at Babel, this legend went throughout the world. And these three were given different names in different cultures, many of which are in the Bible. The golden calf in Egypt was a symbol of the father, Baal, in the sun. And Pharaoh's title meant great temple of the sun god. You can pick out their son of God, right? Sun images all over the world and in Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches symbolize the false sun. The Israelites, with their golden calf, thought they were worshiping Yahweh, or YHWH, or Elohim, the true God, but it was Baal. One horn was the 450 prophets of Baal, represented those two who teach another Jesus. This is the apostate Protestant ministers. The other horn is the 400 prophets of the Asherah, or those who worship the Virgin. This is the Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, and many others that are into what we call Mariolatry, worshiping of the Mother, calling her the Mother of God. Well, Mary is, of course, our sister, and we love her, but she is not the Mother of God, according to Romans 1 and 3. Concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. In Genesis, Jesus was called the seed of the woman, who was Mary, the seed of David. That's right. Verse 4 goes on to say, who was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. So Mary was the mother of his flesh, but his spirit came from God. The spiritual man in the Son of Man came from God. Okay, so he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we see Mary is the mother of Jesus' flesh, which is Son of Man. You remember how he called himself Son of Man? That was true. His spiritual man was Son of God. Verse 4. And born of God. John 3:6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. The false prophet has always been the head of the harlot, and she sitteth, present tense, on five world empires that are fallen, but still present in Revelation 17 and 10. These were never Christian. They were Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media-Persia, and Greece. The corporate leadership of all false Christian religions is the false prophet. Emperor Constantine was head of the early Roman Empire, or beast, as Daniel 7 and 7 describes him. Rome was the greatest beast, devouring all the beasts before it, Daniel 7 and 23. So Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, okay? He devoured all that were before it. Much like the world is today, his kingdom was divided because of much religious faction. And because of Babel, there were, to the untrained eye, similarities between the pagan religions and Christianity. In other words, to unite his empire, Constantine decided to capitalize on these similarities and merge paganism with Christianity. So the false virgin and son were being merged with the people of the true virgin and son. Of course, that's what the devil does. He pollutes. So through the temptations of bribery and power, the backslidden leadership of Christianity gave in. Constantine gathered together at his round table religious leaders of every sect and gave them a position of authority. This corporate false prophet was to advise him and exercise authority over his religious empire. He presided over their councils and put down individual theological differences for the sake of unity. That which hath been is that which shall be, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says. That's what we're seeing today. Our modern day revival of the Roman beast, the United Nations, was within its body, has within its body, the whole earth. And now a new United Nations is rising up called the Alliance, right? Daniel 7 and 23. And is doing exactly what Constantine did to unite the earth. The World Conference on Religion and Peace was a gathering together under the UN of all the sects of religious leaders from all over the world to bring unity to religion and hopefully the world. This corporate false prophet, with the authority of the UN, has created a corporate one-world religion called the United Religions, or the UR. Once when I was teaching on the false prophet, several years ago, quite a few years ago, a brother came into the meeting who had just received a confirming dream. I'll share it with you. His name was Mark W. And here's his revelation. I went to church and to the altar to get delivered from smoking. There were many people up front. I knew that the pastor was walking towards me to get away from someone who smelled like smoke, and I thought, I hope he doesn't come down here because I smell like smoke too. And just then, my sister came to me very happy and said, oh, it's okay now. Look over there. And I looked over and I saw this man lighting up a cigarette. There were some booths and a sign that read, "Smoking Section." People said, "You don't have to quit because now we can smoke in church." I said, "I want to quit smoking." Well, spiritually, smoking is to partake of an unclean spirit, because breath and spirit come from the same word in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Smoke is an unclean breath or spirit. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and is become a habitation of demons and a prison or booths, literally, booths of every unclean spirit. See, word spirit and breath are the same. So smoking is partaking of unclean spirits, spiritually speaking, in Revelations. And that's Revelation 18 and 2. Then the scene changed, and I saw on TV that everyone was rejoicing because a great agreement had been made to have one church. I saw that the agreement was two stacks of paper. That's the two horns of the false prophet. But nothing was written on them. Well, this is a sign that everyone is going to drop their doctrinal demands, which in the case of Christians is truth, right? In order to have unity, they'll give up their truth in order to have unity. Jude 3 and 4 is there. You see it? And then I went to this extremely big church. I couldn't even see the other end of it. I believe this is the UN Corporate Apostate Church that they've put together, the UR. I happened to open the wrong door, and I saw inside a giant ministers' conference. Well, that's the corporate false prophet. They were being shown a film on how to scan barcodes on the foreheads of their congregation with a beam of light without them knowing it. Ah, so the spiritual mark of the beast is given by the false prophet abusing the light of the word. More interpretation. This is the corporate two-horned false prophet who makes merchandise of the people of God. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. And the word of God in 2 Corinthians 2 and 17 in Greek, and marks those belonging to the beast in their foreheads or minds, like in Romans 8, 5 and 6. The mind of the flesh, right? Revelation 13 and 16, too. So remember, in Jesus' day, the respectable religious folks who walked after the mind of the flesh cast their vote against Jesus, against him. They were followers of a respectable group of ministers who gave them that mind using the light of the word. Remember that 10 out of the 12 tribes and their ministers worshipped the beast, the golden calf, and had his mark on their foreheads, their mind, and in their hands, the works, right? The hand represents the works, the forehead represents the mind. The false prophets are the ones who war against this word the most. It's an honor to have these against me, as they have been in the past, and they're against the Lord all the way back through history. They protect their own prestige, authority, position, bank accounts. They draw close to God and his word, so you may be able to recognize them. So, if you will do that, draw close to God in his word, you'll be able to recognize him. Daniel 3, 4 and 5 says, "Then the herald cried, 'Peoples, nations, languages, fall down and worship the golden image of the beast.'" Right? That's of the beast. This word, herald, is the only Greek word in the text at a time before Greek became a world language. It's the same word used in the New Testament for preacher. The command to worship the image, Revelation 13, 14 and 15, will come from the pulpits in the form of a deception so strong that, if possible, even the elect would be deceived. Matthew 24 and 24. "Have you heard them say, 'Oh, don't worry, you can take the mark of the beast'?" The mark of God trumps the mark of the beast. These liars. What does the Bible say is going to happen to those that take the mark of the beast? These are liars over large congregations of people. So if the truth weren't hidden in the parable of Revelation, there would be no strong delusion. In Daniel 3 and 7, all worshiped the image. All worshiped the image. Even the Israelites, except for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and yes, Daniel, right? These would not bow. The three would not bow because they wouldn't eat of the beast's food, which was his word, and wine, which represents his nature, and be defiled. That was Daniel 1, 5 through 16. If you received the word and the nature of a Babylonish false prophet, you too will be defiled and bow down to the beast. Matthew 15, 6 through 20. In Constantine's court, there sat the Senate of secular rulers over the countries under his control. These foreshadowed the ten horns in Daniel's vision of the end-time Roman Empire, Daniel 7 and 7. "The ten horns that thou sawest are ten kings," that means end-time secular rulers, right? "Ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. Revelation 17 and 12. The horn represents power because it is the weapon of the beast, right? A king without his kingdom has no power. These kings gave their kingdoms to the beast in Revelation 17 and 17. And from among these kingdoms in Constantine's day arose the religious rulers. They were different, for they were a corporate body of religious leaders from among all of the kingdoms. So this is exactly what Daniel 7, 8, and 24 says. The little horn came up among the ten and was different from the former, quote unquote, because he was a corporate religious body among leaders of corporate secular bodies. That's what made him different. The UR is sitting in the UN. You see that? Mm-hmm. So now the little horn is the false prophet of Revelation 13, and it's easy to see because it had eyes, Daniel 7 and 20. Which makes it a prophet, Isaiah 29 and 10. He had, quote, "a mouth that spake great things," unquote, Daniel 7 and 20, "and made war on the saints," verse 21. This identifies the false prophet who was given to the beast in Revelation 13:5-7, for the false prophet is the beast's mouth to religious people. You know the politicians, they love to go to these religious gatherings and act like they're one of us. And why the religious leaders do that is so stupid, you know, for politicians, you know, to bring these beasts in there. In Jesus and Constantine's time, the corporate false prophet kept the people in line for the beast, Rome at that time, because of the threat of the loss of position, John 11:47-48. It was this corporate false prophet who was guilty of the blood of Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets, Matthew 23:29-36. Pilate, representing the Roman beast, did not want to kill Jesus. This is the way it will be in our day. The false prophet Sanhedrin was afraid the Romans would, quote, come and take away their position if they didn't put down Jesus' rebellion. Yeah. So you see, they were afraid of losing their position. That's why they had to quickly do away with Jesus. That was their own confession. Another type of the little horn was Antiochus Epiphanes in 175-164 BC. He came up among the horns of the division of Alexander the Great's kingdom and was king of Syria, which means lifted up. I emphasize that this king of the lifted up was a type because many believe that the history of his acts in Daniel are literally speaking of the end time Antichrist. Daniel prophesies what is clearly now history in chapters 8:9-14 and 23-26. And in chapters 11:21-39 regarding Antiochus. But he is also a type and a shadow of what is to come. His compelling interest was to subject God's people to himself, which, like the false prophet of today, he magnified himself, quote unquote, Daniel 8:25, above all the gods of the harlot. And, quote, the one desired of women, unquote, Daniel 11:37. That was Jesus, who was desired of seven women, who are the church of Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Isaiah 4:1 says, and seven women, the church, remember the book of Revelation, seven women shall take hold of one man, Jesus, in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. So in their rebellion against the word, which is eating their own bread and dressing their own apparel, in their rebellion against the word, they still wanted to be called Christians. Let us be called by thy name, they said. Are they that way today? Of course. Take thou away our reproach, they said. Yeah, just cover us so we can continue on living as sinners. The false prophet Antiochus deposed the Jewish high priest Onias III and usurped his place. Many today usurp the position of Jesus, the high priest, as head. Even religious leaders do. They become the head. They don't let Jesus become the head because they won't speak for Jesus and speak in agreement with Jesus. And if you permit a person to exalt themselves or their teaching above Jesus and the Scriptures, they become to you a false prophet. He will even use the word to paint an image in your mind of a false Jesus, 2 Corinthians 3:18, which is none other than the image of the beast, spoken of later. There is a true image of Jesus that we look in the mirror and see, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but there is a false image we can look in there and see and come into that image too. False prophets do that. Religious people follow their religion. They won't follow Christ. Antiochus, in his position as Lord of God's heritage, then sacrificed a son on the altar and sprinkled the holy place with the swine's broth. Yeah. He cast down many of God's people and caused them to lose their position in the heavenlies like the end-time saints. Daniel 8:10, Ephesians 2:6, Revelation 6:13. He took away the continual burnt offering, Daniel 8:11 and 11:31. In the end time will be the middle of the tribulation or the 70th week of Daniel when the mark is given. That's Daniel 9:27. So we are the sanctuary or the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:17. Our old life is the continual burnt offering, Romans 12:1. So as we take up our cross and follow Jesus and lose our old life, Matthew 16:24-25, it is a burnt offering because in the midst of the fiery trial, 1 Peter 4:12, Matthew 3:11-12, when we obey God, the flesh burns up, 2 Corinthians 4:16-17. And if we walk after the mind of the flesh and take the mark, the burnt offering ceases, Daniel 8:12. And we're to be as gold and silver refined in the fire by burning up of the impurities of the flesh, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, right? Malachi 3:2-3. Many will follow the example of Antiochus and sacrifice the son. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sore punishment think ye shall he be judged worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? So they follow the false prophets and are defiled, turning back to their sins, 2 Peter 2:1-3 and 18-22. These are they who give up their life of sacrificing their flesh in the fiery trial in the midst of the tribulation and take the mark of the beast, Revelation 13:5-7, 16-18, and Daniel 9:27. So having been deceived by the false prophets, the people too will take the mark of the beast. And if you allow the false prophets to identify the mark of the beast and the image, you will not be able to see it when it comes, because they hold fast to the letter. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. We're looking at the spirit that's behind the letter, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees could not identify the true image of God, Jesus Christ. He stood before them, and they could not identify him, even though they claimed to be professional in their study of scriptures. What makes you think that they could do it today? It's not the visible image and mark of the beast that you should fear, but the invisible. This is how it can be a deception. Any physical mark can only be put on one who has the spiritual mark already. In other words, they are spiritual beasts and members of its body, and therefore they will be marked as such, so that the Christians can look and say, uh-oh, it's them. Right. Because they didn't know they were hidden in the midst, as the Bible says, right? So it will identify these peoples as members of the body of the beast. Antiochus also set up a statue of Jupiter in the Holy of Holies. He could be the very one in Rome there that they call St. Peter. That was a statue of Jupiter. He, like the little horn of Ahab's day and Jesus' day and Constantine's day and the UR of our day, gives to the people a false image of God. Even among Christians, you'll notice that there are different ideas about who Jesus is and what his nature is and what his teaching is and what his attitude is towards us. And much of this leads people to worship another Jesus, which is an abomination. Become familiar with the Jesus of the Bible, the true image of God. Hebrews 1 and 3. John 1 and 1, right? The tip of the little horn starts in the leadership of the UR. But like Mark W.'s dream, it shows that it goes all the way down to the man in the pulpit. All of them together are the false prophet, the head of the harlot. Quote, be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive the heavier judgment, unquote. James 3 and 1. Now I want to share with you a few more revelations that reveal this end time false prophet. We call this one war, false prophet, harlot, mark, and war. It's all of these things are going to be revealed in these subject matters here. East and West war in the Middle East is going to be partially what we're going to reveal here. And this was given to Bill Steenland, 11/14/2014. I dreamed there was a lion and a white tiger fighting one another very fiercely, with a lot of back and forth while rolling around on the ground. And I think the white tiger represents Russia, Iran, India, and China. Eastern nations, in other words. Going to war with the lion, which is Britain, America, Australia, Canada, Europe, and NATO. Western nations, notice. Eastern against Western. So the lion with eagle's wings in Daniel is Britain and her lion cubs with the U.S. and its air power. Siberia is part of Russia. The white Siberian tiger represents Russia. He went on to say, I was watching Putin in this video, and the Lord said to me, the white tiger. Why hadn't I seen it before? We are really seeing the fulfillment of this dream now. This topic is huge in the book Hidden Manna for the End Times. Now that I think about it, we are really seeing the posturing and coming war that is shown in that dream now, with all the lines being drawn in the sand over Europe and Asia. Well, let me say, ultimately, this war that the deep state has tried to start many times and failed to distract from their evil will come to pass. But I, for one, have fought for peace, and as we should. However, ultimately, the war between East and West is written in the scriptures, and it will happen. Okay, sadly to say, it will happen. The deep state's desire now, in which they have failed to bring to pass, thank God, will. Getting rid of the deep state hasn't gotten rid of evil or evil people or the devil, obviously. And he's going to come back with the same tactics. In the book of Revelation, we know that this great revival of politics is going to be reversed. Read Revelation 13. Yes, it is. So, as the lion and the tiger fought, he said, the scenery and the settings were changing. It was as if they were rolling back and forth in the Middle East, from the mountains to the desert, to more mountains, back to a dry, parched setting like a desert, and then a combination of the two. It was as if they were rolling around, fighting each other across the whole Middle East. This is the strange part. There was a black car following them everywhere they went. I believe that this is the satanic deep state powers that be, the banksters, and with money invested in both sides, as they usually do in order to make money, you know, and so on. Yep. They don't care which side wins. They'll arm up both sides. They'll give money to both sides, as they have done in the past. Okay. So all I knew was that they were in the Middle East and that it was a huge power struggle for territory. So you see what we have seen the deep state fail at now, at this particular time, in trying to start that war, ultimately will come to pass. So at the end of the dream, I saw a black man in full-blown black Masonic attire with a black plate that had a golden pyramid on it. And I believe this is the deep state Masonic powers that be. The eye was not floating over the pyramid. It was one that has always represented Lucifer, he said. Yes, I agree. The Antichrist spirit, who will once again rise up in Revelation 13 and control the beast and finally bring their war between East and West to make money off of both. Yes. He went on to say, Masonic agenda is unfolding. Their god Lucifer is the all-seeing eye over the beast, one world government. So the black plate was hanging on his chest, which is, of course, the breath, the spirit, the demons of the beast, right? He was standing in the middle of these two fighting animals as they fought, but he was much bigger than the cats. He was kicking his toes, get that, kicking his toes into the ground on each side as if one foot or toes was the lion and the other foot was the tiger. He would kick his toes into the ground one at a time towards the other foot. I believe this represents, as he also believes, end time fulfillment of the Ten Kingdoms from Daniel 2, known as Nebuchadnezzar's image or dream. My thought is that the 2 feet of the image of the beast in Daniel's revelation are the end-time Eastern Roman Empire, which Russia is the head of, and Western Roman Empire, which the U.S. is the head of. The clay is nations that were not a part of the original Roman Empire. In other words, they were not the seed of the original Roman Empire, typed by the iron. Remember, the toes were iron and clay, right? So this Roman Empire is the sixth head that was smitten unto death, which is revived. Satan and his earthly representatives, the deep state powers that be, are kicking their pawns back and forth in the Middle East. The pawns of the U.S. and Russia have also always had their pawn nations that they prefer to fight through, supplying weapons and logistics and trainers, etc., so that they are not personally drawn into a nuclear world war with each other, right? That's what they thought. We'll use these other nations so that we don't get drawn into this. And so they're very careful not to get drawn into a nuclear war. Well, they're not careful enough, okay? Although nukes may be used in this war, it's not the full-scale nuclear war that will come at the very end of the tribulation, as seen in Bill's other dream, which I'll share with you too. They have engaged in this covert warfare for many years, and it will continue because it makes money for the powers that be and decreases populations, which they're into. And plus, it keeps the nations under control. I would say that the black man is the world antichrist beast ruled by Satan. Daniel 2 and 40. And the fourth beast shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth. All things as iron that crusheth all these shall it break in pieces and crush. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron doth not mingle with clay. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Huh. Okay. Islam is invading the nations by the deep state to bring this division. They are the clay. And in the days of those kings, verse 44, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So this begins with the man-child reformers. Verse 45 goes on, For as much as thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. In the dream, I knew the black man over the big cats was Tiger Woods, as of course a type and a shadow, the pro golfer. There's Tiger again. Tiger has a family heritage from many nations and represents the world beast, like the Daniel 2 vision of the world beast. He is like the melting pot of nations and religions melted into one. See, all of the nations are together in the UN and now in the United Religions and also in the Alliance of Nations. Tiger Woods spent much of his life standing on grass playing golf. This war of black or back and forth is like a golf game to them, and life is cheap, okay? Grass, of course, remember the beast stands upon the grass, eats the grass for 7 days, you know, or 7 years, right? And the grass is, according to what Peter said, all flesh is as grass. So here are a few details from Wikipedia about this multinational family tree. Woods was born in Cypress, California, to Earl, 1932 to 2006, and Coltida, or Tida, they call her, Woods, born in 1944. He does have two half-brothers, Earl Jr., born in 1955, and Kevin, born in 1957, and a half-sister, Royce, born in 1958. From the 18-year marriage of Earl Woods and his first wife, Barbara Woods Gray, Earl, a retired lieutenant colonel and Vietnam War veteran, was of mostly African American as well as Caucasian and possible Native American and Chinese ancestry. Coltida, originally from Thailand, where Earl had met her on a tour of duty in 1968, is of mixed Thai, Chinese, and Dutch ancestry. He refers to his ethnic makeup as Kalina Asian, Kablina Asian. Let me put it that way. That's better. The symbolic abbreviation he coined for Caucasian, Black, American Indian, and Asian. Wood's first name, Eldrick, was coined by his mother because it began with an E for Earl and ended with a K for Coltida. His middle name, Tont, is a traditional Thai name. He was nicknamed Tiger in honor of his father's friend, Colonel Vuong Dang Phong, who had also been known as Tiger. So the name Eldrick is an English baby name. In English, the meaning of the name Eldrick is old wise ruler. Very interesting. So he can represent this corporate body of the world here, right? Here's another one, the false prophet, harlot, Mark, and nuclear war, Bill Steenland, 6/22/15. The dream started off where I was in a big city like New York or Philly. I had a large white tablet in my hands. There were two guys who were working on it, but we were talking about the mark of the beast. The guy was talking about the basics of where it goes and so on. The second man was sitting on the step. He led a really far away look he had a really faraway look on his face, like he had spent a long time looking at the physical properties of the mark. He sat down on the step and just kept saying, "It's so much more than a mark," quote unquote. Over and over he would say that. Then he said, calling it just a mark doesn't do it justice. It's much more than that. I found out later in that dream, the mark will have currency on it as an incentive to take it after a total global economic meltdown. I looked back at the tablet, and I knew that in the dream, when I looked down at the tablet, I could see anything I wanted to, or any place I wanted to, and that I could be there by looking at this tablet. Well, it means the Word of God written upon the tablet of our hearts, which gives spiritual insight and discernment. 2 Corinthians 3 and 2. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, being made manifest that you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in tables that are hearts of flesh. Maybe that's why, when I looked at the tablet later in the dream, I could see future events and see into the spiritual realm. 1 Corinthians 2 and 10 says, "But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." I was watching in a video of a beach as I walked around with the tablet. Then I found myself there on the beach at a resort. I was walking around this beach next to the resort, fellowshipping with Abraham's seed, the children of faith. In other words, this is his interpretation of the beach, the sand on the beach, right? Fellowshipping with the children of faith. Because God told Abraham that his children would be as the sands of the sea. Hebrews 11 and 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Wherefore also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of heaven for multitude, and in the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Romans 4:11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be in uncircumcision, that righteousness might be reckoned unto them. Well, we know the promised seed, the man-child Isaac, would bring forth the great multitudes of fruit, just like in these end times. While I was walking around, Bill said, I saw an old friend whom I knew was caught up in confusion, walking around too. In the dream, I knew that I had a room at this beach resort. I went into my room and I relaxed on my bed, representing resting in the promises of God. I pulled out the tablet and I saw a picture of Benny Hinn. He was wearing a red shirt. Red represents sin, as in the man of sin, John 3, 4, and 10. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, "Come now, ye that let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So it represents, I believe, what he said, the man of sin. He went on to say he looked very effeminate, like there was makeup on his face. In other words, what you see is not what you get. It's that way with a lot of preachers, don't we know? Don't we understand that? And he had his arms out as if to present something. I noticed there was a witchcraft book in front of him. This brought to mind 1 Samuel 15:23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry, and teraphim, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king." Well, so true. And Bill went on, 1 Corinthians 10:20, he says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not have that ye should have communion with demons. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Ye cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons." So there was a table with a whole bunch of objects in front of him that were being used in witchcraft to send curses. Those infected with Kundalini and who practice false signs and lying wonders are sent out to deceive God's people. God is the one allowing it, in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. "For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work, only there is one that restraineth now until he be taken out of the way. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming." Verse 9, "Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." Jesus warned of the false leaders, Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christ," or anointings, that's what Christ means, right? "And false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." So, my thought was, when God does signs because of the faith of his people, but the signs do not confirm the life and the word of the minister, they are false signs and lying wonders. Mark 16:20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by signs that followed." Amen. So God confirms the words of his preachers, right? Deuteronomy 13:1. "If there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or dreamer of dream, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake, saying unto thee, let us go after other gods," in other words, another Elohim or another Jesus, right, "which thou hast not known, let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or to that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul." They have another Jesus because they received another word and another spirit. This scripture explains why he was performing witchcraft in the dream. Galatians 1 and 7. Which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, that's the original gospel, right? Not the ones they got today. Let him be anathema. And as we have said before, so say we now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which you received, that means from them in that day, right? Let him be anathema, which is accursed. When people receive another word, they can receive this working of error mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 3, 9 through 11, right? They come under a curse. Kundalini is a huge working of error that the harlot church is going under. Like in the dream, they say they serve God, but are in rebellion and witchcraft. When people pray and fellowship with people who are serving these Kundalini spirits, they open themselves up to this working of error because, frankly, they are praying with a witch. And they get slimed with this curse from Galatians that they are under. I agree with what Bill says there. Here is a call of God to leave these false teachers and churches. Isaiah 2 and 5, Bill goes on with, O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with customs from the east and soothsayers like the Philistines. That's exactly what it is. Kundalini has been named the false prophetic movement for good reason, and it comes from the east. And they strike hands with the children of foreigners. Yes, they did. They have joined the eastern religions through Kundalini spirits. And their land is full of silver and gold. Yes. And he says Benny Hinn is reportedly worth $60 million, maybe more than that now. Somebody is not eating while these kind of people surfeit and don't care for the needs of the people. Ecclesiastes 5:11 says, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what advantage is there to the owner thereof, save the beholding of them with his eyes? Isaiah 56:11. Yea, the dogs are greedy. They can never have enough. These are shepherds that without understanding, they are all turned to their own way, each one to his gain from every quarter. Yes, they have. And that movement, the false movement, the false revival movement, spawned a bunch of preachers that did just that. They collected a lot of money from the people. They left churches in debt and walked off with the money. So neither is there any end of their treasures, the prosperity message, right? Their land also is full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Well, his Rolls Royce and private jets, I think, kind of prove that. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. Well, this type builds a false temple made with man's hands, which God says he does not inhabit, Acts 17 and 24. The God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Isaiah 10 and 1, Bill goes on, Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and to the writers that write perverseness, to turn aside the needy from justice, and to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be their spoil. So their ministries are funded by the poor and the fatherless, whom they rob. Benny has promised to these poor people that if they give him $1,000, God will multiply it. Well, when God is teaching his children to give, he may honor their faith, but not necessarily a greedy leader. And that they may make the fatherless their prey, it goes on to say. Those who have no true spiritual fathers, but are hirelings, right? That's what he's talking about. And what will you do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your glory? In other words, what will they do when the Lord comes, manifested in the man-child ministry, to bring justice? Okay, back to Bill's dream here. There was a book on the table in front of him. As I looked at the book, I heard a news broadcast in the background. The female broadcaster said these words: Benny Hinn has a new social media program to join, like Alex Jones has, and another name that was mentioned but was blanked out. And I believe it was a reference to Facebook. I believe these social media programs are the hive mentality of corporate bodies of people who are under the deception of certain spirits. For instance, Facebook is vanity and self-promotion. Yes, I agree. Benny is obviously Kundalini and the Harlot Church. As I looked at the book, I heard the famous singer, Katy Perry, singing these lyrics. Quote, I hear that the mark of the beast is coming, and I want one. Unquote. Well, he has in parenthesis, Katy is a perfect symbol of the Harlot Church. You will take the mark of the beast. She's also being used as a type of the harlot spirit that causes the falling away, and finally the mark of the beast. 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit saith expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So, the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Exodus chapter 12 was for 7 days, representing the tribulation. And anyone who ate leaven during that time was cut off from the people of God. So we must come out from among them. This will be a great falling away of the people who are cut off. Bill went on. He said, next, there were two aliens in my room. They were demons. I knew in the dream that the Harlot Church, who rides the beast, was rolling out another deception, aliens. I immediately turned the tablet off, and the demons left. And then I had an open vision while there on my bed. I was looking at a world destroyed by a nuclear war with Russia and a total global economic collapse. Well, the war between East and West is bound to end this way in an economic collapse. Has to happen. Joel 2:30 says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The pillars of smoke, he goes on to say, mentioned in Joel could be the mushroom cloud pillars of nuclear war. And that word pillar can also be translated as column. That could stretch from the earth to the heavens, literally. And he went on to say, I was looking at a soldier and a young boy of about 14 years old. The sun was not giving its light, like the scriptures mention. And I saw the boy with the mark of the beast in his hand. It was glowing in the dark while in his hand. It was slightly curved in shape like a banana. And he has representing the fruit of the wicked, a crescent shape, ? Mm-hmm. You know what that represents, right? And the mixture of the clay in is the Muslim mixture into the nations, the Western nations, to destroy them. It was glowing green and yellow. The boy was thinking the following words in his head as I heard them very clearly. As he looked up at a totally destroyed world, he thought, quote, we don't ever have to worry. We are safe. The government knows where we are at all times, and we will be here shortly. They will be here shortly to help us. Well, notice he had the mark before the nuclear war came, and he was programmed to trust in Antichrist. Revelation 13 and 16. And he caused all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, that there be given them a mark on their right hand or upon their forehead, and that no man should be able to buy or to sell, save he that hath the mark. Well, Bill went on to say, in the dream I knew that this mark had electronic currency on it. Even the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So we who refuse the mark will be in the wilderness with God as our supplier. That's what's going to put everybody in a wilderness. I mean, if you can't buy and sell with the world, and you can't get their salvation in any way, you have to trust in God in the wilderness, right? Daniel 9 and 27, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and upon the wing, or pinnacle, of abominations shall come one, that's one abomination, the mark, that maketh them desolate, that one that comes that makes them desolate, and even unto the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. So in the midst of the week, many so-called Christians will take the mark as sons of perdition in the temple of God's people. This mark is an abomination that makes them desolate, which means devoid of God. As I watched the boy, I knew that people would take the mark for many reasons. For one reason is that there will be currency given to the recipient so he can survive. I came out of the vision and said to myself, I need to find my old friend. I knew in this dream that there were a lot of people who needed to hear this warning. Revelation 18 and 4. And I heard another voice come from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And 2 Corinthians 6:15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And here's a revelation given to Rex Verone in 2004. I believe this is an end-time dream. This dream is as seen from God's perspective of the false prophets who have put on their deceptive show to deceive the people as to their true nature and false teaching. Amen. I saw a mouse standing in front of a medium-sized congregation, preaching and teaching. It stood up on its hind legs and was the size of a small terrier dog. It had the face of a man. The face was nondescript, and no one I knew. Well, my thought was the false prophets standing in the pulpits of God's people are indeed very small in spiritual stature, and the vilest of beasts attempting to depict themselves as men of God. As in a plague, they are the carriers of spiritual disease that have brought spiritual and physical death to multitudes of people. Okay, back to Rex. It had a red, broad-brimmed hat with little gold tassels hanging from the brim. My thoughts were, they attempt to glorify their own thinking, but underneath is still hidden the brain of a spiritual mouse. The red color here is an attempt to appear to have blood-washed thinking, but instead it is sinful thinking, like Isaiah 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Red Rex again, he said, it wore a red vest with some tassels hanging from the edge. And my thought was, they attempt to glorify their own heart, which is not covered by the blood, but the sin of the fallen nature. And underneath their show is the heart of a spiritual small beast, like the mouse. It wore red pants with tassels hanging from the bottom of the pant legs. He had jester-style shoes with a little gold bell on each end of the toe curl. And I thought they loved to bring attention to their walk by ringing their own bell when they put on a show to be seen of men. However, before God and those with understanding, they're seen as jesters who walk crooked, as the curled toes depict. Rex went on, he said, it had a stubby tail like a bulldog with a gold cover on it that was flattened out and looked like a spoon upside down. Well, as unclean dogs, they're dung eaters. And that which should be left behind, as Paul pointed out, and flushed is glorified by these apostates and fed to the people as doctrine. Rex went on. He said, the people kept saying, we can't stand this any longer. He needs to be more quiet. Get rid of him. In other words, they had enough of the mouse, right? So when the people of God begin to awaken, they become dissatisfied with the religious show and want more of God and his word. And that's a good thing. Rex went on to say, I went to the front, picked him up, and took off his hat, his vest, and his pants, and I started to put him down. Well, it's here that the true ministers are able to uncover the false thinking, the heart, and the walk of these apostate leaders. Rex said, then I heard a voice saying, you must take his shoes off and the golden tail as well. You cannot turn him loose with those on. And I thought, it's necessary to also reveal the apostates' evil walk and a despicably unclean doctrine that the righteous will forsake them. Rex said, I then took his shoes and golden tail off and set him on the floor, and he vanished. And my thought is, when the truth is revealed, they become nothing in the eyes of God's people, and as their yoke is broken off of them. Rex went on to say, turning back to the people, they were quiet and at peace. Nothing was said. While still dreaming, I thought the entire scene strange and was wondering about it when I heard, quote, get up and write the dream down, unquote. I awoke and wrote it down and meditated about it, and then I went back to bed. Yep. Well, here's another one. False Prophet and Son of Perdition, G.C., 2007. In this dream, I was watching a scene go down. There was a line of people shuffling forward towards a podium. There were two men at this podium, a father and a son. In real life, I know them. The father was dressed in full Masonic priest regalia and was wearing what seemed to be a pope-like hat. The son was on his left hand, and he was dressed like a normal person. Let me say, many who only see the letter of the parable in dreams would think that this father is a pope. But this is not how parables work. Like the pope is in the Holy Father over the Catholics, meaning universal church, so this father represents a corporate false prophet over a world body of apostate religions. Many of these very visible leaders are also Masons. Judas, who was called the son of perdition, sold the body of Christ to the Sanhedrin, which was this corporate false prophet in their day. Likewise, a corporate son of perdition hidden in the body of Christ today will betray them. This way, both people in this parable represent a corporate body today. He said, I watched in horror as the father was giving the mark of the beast to the people in line. Well, Revelation 13 and 16, and he, that is the false prophet, causeth all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free and the bond, that there be given them a mark on their right hand or upon their forehead. He went on to say, as soon as the people received the mark, they instantly transformed into a wild pig and leaped straight into a furnace off to the side of the podium. 2 Peter 2 and 12, he gives, but these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals, to be taken and destroyed. Philippians 3 and 18 was my thought, for many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is perdition, whose God is the belly, you know, like the wild pigs, right? And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, like the mark in their forehead, right? He went on to say, I considered what was taking place and tried to warn the people about the furnace. Well, we know that there's a great and terrible day of the Lord coming, and it will burn them up, right? But they seemed not to take heed to what I was saying. They were willfully taking this mark as if under strong delusion. It was horrible. And he put a note here. He said, although in real life I worked for this father, he had never called me before. All the business matters were usually handled through his son. And after I woke from the dream, the father called me on the phone. Ooh, pretty good confirmation, huh? He asked me to come to his office to have a meeting with him and his son. So that was a sure confirmation from the Lord. They are merely figures the Lord used to show me something in the dream. They own their own company and are in the business of buying and selling. Well, that's kind of just like the merchants of Babylon who make merchandise of you, right? He went on to say, the father's name is Roland, meaning renowned throughout the land. This reminds me of the men of renown or giants of old. We have giants today, too, the megachurch pastors of the apostate church. The son, in real life, is a lukewarm Christian who is given to drunkenness. Well, which is spiritually like the son of perdition, right? Discernment delivers from false prophets. This is J, 2008. I dreamed I was in a class with several other students. We were in this big room, which looked rather like a gymnasium, and I remember thinking and missing my friends from other classes, whom I remembered were now long gone away. David Eales was our teacher, and I was standing next to him. I believe this is a type of the David Man-Child Reformers. David was telling me that the previous night there was a party at his next-door neighbor's house, and he didn't get much sleep. Well, let me say, God's people giving in to lasciviousness have truly caused me to lose some sleep. He was casually dressed like a sports teacher or a trainer. Well, we have to train the people of God to get in shape for the contest to come. Not just teach them, but train them, right? He went on to say, standing next to him, I could see his profile, and I noticed that he was wearing a patch or a piece of wool over his nose, like he had a nose job or even more. It looked to me like something he was wearing to filter the air he was breathing. So, this nose filter represents the ability to discern good from evil. The nose gives discernment to the mind that is neither seen nor heard, you know, by the eyes and ears, right? So wool over the nose represents having the true clothing or actions of sheep, which filter out the false spirits, which is the meaning of breath in Hebrew. He went on to say, the next thing I remember was a tall man entering the room accompanied by a woman. Well, let me say that the tall man is seen in many dreams as the corporate false prophet, and his companion is the harlot church. He went on to say, they were dressed in suits and looked to me like teachers. The man came and was standing next to me, and I knew they were there to acquire some students for themselves. Well, they will seek through lasciviousness, meaning a license to excess, to draw aside disciples of themselves, right? He went on to say, I tried to ignore him, but since I could tell what his intentions were, and then he pointed his finger at me, I looked around for David but couldn't see him. In other words, I think we will face temptation alone in many cases. I turned to the man and looked at his face for the first time. He was so tall, almost all the way up to the ceiling. And I remember feeling the pain in my neck as I was struggling to look at his face. Well, I believe his great size represents a corporate body of people, right? He was nicely groomed with curly hair, and he had bright gray, watery eyes. Well, they tend to see things in gray, not black or white, as in right or wrong, as the scripture teaches, you know. He went on to say, being determined, I told him that I was not going with him because David was my teacher. As I was saying these words, I was getting weak. I remember being hardly able to say that last word, teacher. But I succeeded. He looked shocked and very offended because obviously he had the authority to choose from the class as he liked. And he looked at the woman, the harlot, with disbelief. He looked back at me, trying to put some kind of smile on his angry face, and then I woke up. The Sanskrit meaning for J is victory. Although tempted, J obviously represents those who gain the victory over the false prophet and the harlot because of their training in discernment. We're told that the word exercises our senses to discern good from evil. Hebrews 5 and 12 goes on down to say, for when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Well, Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this discernment of the false prophet. We can understand and see who they can be, corporately speaking, and who, as an individual body in the book of Revelation, are singular false prophet. It represents a lot more than what people say. Just like all the rest of the entities in the book of Revelation, these are worldwide entities. Amen. God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today. We'll do this again sometime. Amen.